Justification. It sounds like a big churchy word, doesn't it? We heard it in that passage from Galatians. But actually, it's a very normal word and a very normal idea that we use all the time. We might not realize it, but we do. We often talk about justifying things or being justified. I might have to justify the money I spent on a drum kit to my family when we're short on groceries. I might need to justify why watching an NBA basketball game is a good use of date night. Some of us have to explain to our parents why it was justified that we haven't tidied our room or that we were 2 hours later home than we were going to be. Other of us feel that we need to justify why we haven't called our parents for so long, a different stage of life. Our fears or concerns are said to be justified if it turns out that the thing we were worried about does actually happen. We might say that someone's claim to have been abducted by aliens needs to be justified by the evidence. I might not be sure that the amount of time I spent on a DIY project was justified by the results of that project. I probably will be unsure about that. We often need to justify our behaviour, our spending, our claims. There's a couple of things more to have to do with justification. There's a horse called Justify, who was the 2018 US Horse of the Year. I had to look that up, just so you know. And there is also Justified Text Alignment. They actually have nothing to do with what I'm talking about at all. I just gave them for a break, so ignore them. But apart from those last two irrelevant items, all the other ways that we speak about justification, I think, are similar. They have to do with something being right, or showing it to be right, or to be just, showing it to be acceptable or okay. That's what it means to be justified. And we justify things all the time, or we try to show that they are justified. In fact, often in our heart of hearts, we feel that we even need to justify our own existence. To feel that we're okay, that it's right that we're here, that we exist, that we're alive. We feel we have to justify our very selves. Justification is actually very basic to humanity. And justification is at the heart of our passage in Galatians today. So this passage speaks to something that is basic in all of us, basic to all of us. We're going to look at it in three movements. First of all, a story, and then two important issues that come out of that story. What we're justified by and what we live by in light of that justification. And in the background of this passage is what has come before in this letter to the Galatians, which we've been looking at on Sunday mornings. Paul's so far been talking about his passion for the gospel. 2 weeks ago, we saw that Paul was astonished that the Galatian Christians were abandoning the gospel so soon, and they were ready to go to a different gospel. But he was astonished because he said, there really is no other gospel. So why are you turning to what's no gospel, no good news at all? And then in last week's passage, we saw a little bit more of why Paul was so astonished. Because Paul had had this gospel revealed to him by Jesus. It wasn't just some idea he dreamed up. It was a directly revealed divine gospel. And also, it was the same gospel that the other apostles were preaching, the other eyewitnesses of Jesus. They believed the same things about Jesus and his gospel because they'd been given the same message by Jesus. So it was the one true gospel. So that's why Paul was astonished. People were leaving it behind. Now, with all of that in mind, Paul tells us a story in verses 11 to 14 of our passage today, Galatians 2, 11 to 21. And in verses 11 to 14, Paul tells us the story, and it centers around Peter, otherwise known as Cephas. Peter and Cephas both mean rock. Well, last week we saw Peter was one of those other apostles who believed the same things Paul does. Back in verse 6, Paul had presented his gospel message, which he was preaching, the message he'd preached to everyone he preached to, and he presented it to Peter and to James and to John. And, importantly, it says in verse 6, they added nothing to it. In other words, they said, yep, that's the same gospel we preach. The one you're preaching, Paul, is the gospel we preach. But in today's passage, Paul tells of a time that he and Peter were both in the town of Antioch, which is a major city up the road from Jerusalem a bit. It's actually a very big city. It was the third biggest city in the Roman Empire at the time. And Antioch was the place where the first significant community of Gentile, that's non-Jewish, Gentile Christians, had arisen. And the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians there in Antioch, they got on pretty well. Peter had been part of that. He mixed with and shared his life with and ate with the Gentiles. And that might seem no big deal to you. It might seem obvious. So what? I eat with whoever, wherever. But it wasn't like that at that time in that culture. The Jews then had very strict laws about who they could eat with. Eating with people was a big deal for them. And they weren't supposed to eat with Gentiles. So the fact that Peter was eating with Gentiles was a big deal. He was one of the most important, prominent Jewish Christian leaders, and he ate with non-Jews. And he could happily eat with these Gentiles, even though he was Jewish, for a couple of reasons. Firstly, God had given him a vision, a powerful experience, sometime earlier, showing that he could eat with anyone. And also, Jesus had said some things that we see in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that sort of set aside the food laws from the Old Testament. He sort of said, well, they've been fulfilled. We don't have to keep holding to those and living them out. But underneath and above all of that was this vital fact, which Peter had learned. His justification, his rightness with God, didn't come from keeping food laws or any other Jewish laws. It came from Jesus. That's where his justification came from. And we know that Peter knew that and believed that because that was at the heart of the gospel the Apostle Paul preached. And that's the gospel that Paul had presented to Peter and the other apostles. And Peter and the apostles said, yes, that's our gospel too. We agree with it. So Peter knew this. Peter knew he was justified through Jesus alone. And we'll come back to that. But the point of Paul's story actually comes in verse 12. Some people came to Antioch from James, who's one of the other Christian leaders who was there at that meeting with Paul, James in Jerusalem. And these people came. But these people who came, they weren't so keen on Jewish Christians ditching the food laws. So when they came, they seem somehow to have intimidated Peter or perhaps even given him instructions. We're not sure. Whatever they did, the result was Peter pulled back from eating with the Gentile Christians. And he sort of separated himself from them. And because Peter was such an important and influential leader, a lot of the other Jewish Christians did the same thing. And in verse 13, Paul calls this hypocrisy. Because even though Peter knew that keeping food laws didn't make him right with God, and even though he used to quite happily eat with Gentiles, now these other guys have arrived. Suddenly Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. But why this hypocrisy? Why was Peter doing this? Well, verse 12, Paul tells us, because Peter was afraid. He was afraid of these Jewish Christians that had come from Jerusalem, afraid of what they might think. Do you know that feeling? When you're in danger of falling into hypocrisy, of living out of line with your beliefs, because you're afraid of what other people will think of you? Well, Paul was a fairly intense kind of guy, and he doesn't let this go. Verse 14, he calls Peter on it. And he does it actually in front of everybody, which might seem a bit full on. But remember, Peter was leading many other people astray, and so Paul needed to correct him in front of everybody. Now, Paul's telling this little story to help us see the danger of acting in a way that is out of line with the gospel. As he says in verse 14, not acting in line with the gospel, not acting with gospel integrity because of what people might think. And remember, this letter was originally, it wasn't written to people in Antioch. He's talking about what happened in Antioch with Peter and him, but it was written to the Galatian Christians, the churches in Galatia. That was the people Paul was writing to. And they had had, the people in Galatia had had some people come to them who were trying to get them to follow Jewish laws. And Paul is saying to them, don't fall into the hypocrisy which Peter fell into. Don't fall into that hypocrisy. But why? What's the big deal? If the Galatian Christians want to start following Jewish food laws, or even if they want to get circumcised, which is an issue that comes up lots in this letter, it's another part of following the Jewish law, well, if they want to start doing that, whoopee for them. I mean, who cares? But Paul goes on to show us why we should care. why it really matters. And his reason for thinking that it matters, that it is a big deal, is summed up by an important word: justified. That's this word that we use more than we realize about being okay, showing that we're in the right or we're not guilty or we're acceptable. And when Paul speaks about being justified in this passage, he means particularly being right with God. Look at what he says there in verses 15 to 16. Very, very important verses in the book of Galatians. Verses 15 to 16. We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we, too, have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. Now, that's pretty dense, pretty full on and packed full. But did you catch the point? No one will be justified by works of the law. And even people like Paul and Peter, who were born Jews, they were part of God's special people and they'd grown up with the law and had it, they have realized that following and keeping the Jewish law and the Jewish customs won't ultimately make them right with God. Only Jesus Christ can justify them. And there's more. See, these Jewish Christians, like Peter and Paul, they had put their faith in Jesus. That means they put their trust in Jesus to make them right with God, to justify them. And that's where verse 17 comes in. Now stay with me here. It's kind of tricky, but it's important. Verse 17. If, in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean Christ promotes sin? Now, Paul will go on to say why it actually doesn't mean Christ promotes sin at all. But I want us first to notice the first thing he says there. In seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners. See what he's saying there? If you're going to come to Jesus to be justified, to be right with God through Jesus, then you will find, whether you're a Gentile or Jew, you will realize that you are a sinner too. When Peter and Paul accepted that they needed faith in Christ to make them right with God, they were admitting that they were sinners too, just like the Gentiles who weren't part of God's special people. And actually, as a little aside, we often think that people need to see that they're sinners before they'll realize they need Christ. And sometimes that's true, and that's a good way to go about it, biblical way. But it's also sometimes the other way around, which you see in this verse. Sometimes people seek Christ, or they look at Christ and they say, yes, he's good and I want to follow him. And then they see that they're sinners. It can work both ways. But anyway, do you see what this means? It means if you truly come to God through faith in Jesus, then you must recognize that the only way to come to God is through faith in Jesus. You must recognize that you, like everyone else, are a sinner. See, you and I are not worthy of God. No one is. It's a very level playing field. We're all the same. We all fall short. But as soon as you realize that, you're freed up to stop trying to be good enough, or depending on the fact that you're a good person, or that you've done enough, or that, you know, you kind of twist God's arm by the good things you do so that he'll accept you. No, you stop looking to justify yourself through things like that, and instead have faith that it's Christ who makes you right with God. And do you see how beautiful that is? It means if you're sitting here today thinking, well, I can't be good enough for God. I've done terrible things. I've let God down. I've ignored him. I've done horrible things. I can't be good enough for him. If you're thinking that, that's actually good. You are ready to come and be justified by faith in Christ alone, by trusting in Jesus rather than by things you've done. And it also means if you're thinking, well, there's no way I can really be part of this church. You know, I'm too bad. These people are all holy and decent and nice. I can't be part of this. They don't know what I'm like. Well, then two things. First of all, you need to get to know us a bit better. we look forward to letting you down. And number two, even if we were that good, which we're not, even if we were, the whole point is we aren't part of the church because of being good or nice or decent. No, we are right with God and therefore brought together as his people because we have faith in Christ. We share that faith in Christ. We know that we're sinners and we trust in Christ to justify us. We're all on the same level. So join us in that. Now, I'm racing through this. There is so much in here. There's so many more questions I'm happy to chat about. But here's one of them. Does this mean that Christ doesn't care how we live? We can just do whatever we like then. Absolutely not, says Paul. And he'll tell us much more about how Jesus changes the way we live in a couple of chapters' time. So hold on for that. But his big point here in this passage that we must hear is that we are not right with God through anything other than what Christ has done for us. And then he goes, so we're justified by Christ alone, faith in Christ. Then he goes on to say, verses 19 to 21, that we have to live by that. See, if we've been justified by faith in Christ, then we need to live by faith in Christ. That's what Peter was betraying in his hypocrisy. He was living as if he was justified by something else, by keeping the food laws, by keeping the Jewish laws. He wasn't living what he believed, which is that you're justified by Christ alone. In fact, it was worse than that. His actions were leading others astray as well. In verse 14, Paul said he was forcing Gentiles, such strong language, forcing Gentiles to follow Jewish customs. And that's because I think if Peter had to keep food laws to be right with God, well, then the Gentiles would see him and they think, well, he's a very important Christian leader. He's one of the great Jewish followers of Jesus. If he has to go back to doing that, well, I must as well. And of course, then he's teaching them by his actions. He's teaching them they need to do more than simply trust in Christ to be right with God. Isn't that a terrifying thing that we could, by our actions, teach people something against the gospel, teach people that they have to do more than simply trust in Christ. We need to be very careful of that. Well, Paul says we need to be different to that because he says in verse 20, he says, if I have faith in Christ, then, verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you see the beauty of that? If I've been justified by faith in Christ, then now I live by faith in Christ. In the end, it's not actually even ultimately me who lives now. It's Christ living in me, living through me. What Jesus Christ has done is so big that it becomes my whole life. He has made me right with God. He's justified me. He's given me a hope and a future. And he did it. Why? From this verse, why did he do it? Because he loved me. And therefore, he gave himself for me on that cross. And he gave himself for you. So you and I can have life with God through him. Justified, right before God, able to stand before him confidently. It is a spectacular thing. The very Son of God loved you and gave himself for you. Died in your place to make you right with God. That is the price he was willing to pay to justify you. It's extraordinary. It's wonderful. But here's our problem. I don't think we are satisfied enough with that. I don't think we realize how huge it is, how wonderful it is, how much it means for each of us that we are justified by Christ who gave himself for us. Let me try and explain why I don't think we realize the fullness of it. My kids have a storybook called You Are Mine. It's about a group of little wooden people called Wemmicks. And the Wemmicks give each other dots and stars. When someone does something good, or if they're attractive or clever, other Wemmicks will stick stars on them. Say, here, have a star. You've done so well. You're so good. But if they're silly or ugly or clumsy, then they stick dots on them. If they do something wrong, they stick dots on them. And the Wemmicks live their lives and see the world and judge each other by the stars and the dots which are stuck to them. And the main character, Punchinello, he has a lot of dots. But one day, Punchinello meets another Wemmick called Lucia. And Lucia has no stars or dots on her. The stars and dots the other Wemmicks try to stick on her won't stick. They just sort of slide off. Now, if you are really justified by faith in Christ, if you're really acceptable and valuable to God because Christ loved you and gave himself for you, then you need to live by that faith in Christ from day to day. And that means, like Lucia, you won't be focused on whether other people are giving you stars or dots. Other people's approval or disapproval just won't matter that much to you when you're justified before the creator of the universe who gave his son to make you right with him. Sure, when someone says something nasty, it'll hurt. When someone says something nice about you, it'll feel good. But it's not going to stick. It's not going to be the thing that hangs around on you. Because you're justified by God. You're justified in Christ before the one who made you. But I'm not sure we think like that enough. We look for justification and honor from the stars people give us. And we focus and we worry and we obsess about the dots we get. And our society encourages that more and more. The Facebook like button is just one big dot or star giver. I suppose it's a star giver. When you don't get it, it's a dot. The Twitter retweet. Everything about Instagram, most things about YouTube, these things are one big dot and star mechanism. But it's not just on the internet. The way we talk to one another about who did well at this, who lived up to that, did you hear what that person did? Oh, just letting you know that I happen to have done this thing. I mean, I don't like to boast, but dots and stars, dots and stars. Here's a question. Who do you really want to be honored by? Do you feel like you need to be acknowledged by others to be valuable? Do you feel like you need to be up front at church doing something in order to be worth something? Do you feel like you have to be acknowledged for your volunteer work or your career or your good family or your attractiveness or your achievements or your conservativeness or your liberality? See, it's all just dots and stars. Look at Christ. There is your value. He hung on the cross for you. He made you right with God. You are his. So you are honored beyond measure. And if God looks at us who have faith in Christ and says, you are justified, you are acceptable to me, you are mine, then that's what we need to be reminding each other of, pointing each other to. We need to keep saying to one another, brother, sister, you are justified before God. You can stand before God confidently because of Christ. When someone falls or sins in some way and they come to you about it, what's the first thing you want to say to them? Is it, oh, you mustn't do that? Oh, well, no, that's, we've got to help you out of that one. Or is it, if they're a Christian, is it, you are justified before God. You are right with him. Know that. And now let's deal with this issue. Now, it's true, of course, that we all have a part to play. We all contribute in church and in society, the body of Christ, you know, the fact we've all got something to do in church. And that's true. It's good. But it's not what's at the absolute heart of Christianity. And often we make it as if it is. Our gifts that we have to express are the main thing. No, no. It is not what's at the heart. And it's not what makes you valuable. It is not what justifies you, makes you worthwhile. We are justified in Christ alone, no matter what we do or don't do, no matter what gifts we have. And if we don't reflect that in the way we treat one another, in the way we speak to one another, in what we remind one another of, and in how we think of ourselves and how we learn to think about ourselves, if we don't put justification up front in those things, our being justified before Christ, then we are in danger of being hypocrites, of living out of line with the gospel. At the end of that book, Punchinello comes to the same faith that Lucia has. And his dots start falling off him. My prayer is that we will all remember and come to feel deep in our bones that it is through faith in Christ that we are justified before God. Through faith in Christ that we stand before God confidently. When we realize that, the dots and the stars will start sliding off us. May God make it so. Amen.